Southern Pride story time. If the story you hear today and Friday are familiar to you, it's because I am re-releasing Frankenstein and Dracula in larger one-episode chunks this week. Because of Hurricane Ian, I was out of town for about 3 days with no to limited internet access. Point being, I'm a couple days behind in my research for new episodes for this week. So I had a choice. I could either give you a slapdash, quickly thrown together excuse for an episode this week, or I could take the time required to give real research into the episode and, just re-release some Halloween stuff from a couple years ago. So, that being said, this week we're going to be doing Frankenstein and Dracula. As I said, instead of in 6 or 4 parts, we're going to be doing each one in one longer segment. And that'll be our episodes for this week, so that next week I can resume with The Chase of the Severed Head and The Mask of Red Death. So that'll put us back on schedule for spooky season. I also think it's a good opportunity to kind of give my voice a break since last week. I'm sure you could hear me struggling on the show. My allergies have been so bad this year that last week I actually lost my voice. My job was nice enough to put me on making milkshakes instead of a customer-facing role where I would end up having to talk the whole shift, but I did almost completely lose my voice last week just from my allergies. Now, when I went up to the mountains to escape from Hurricane Ian, I did get a little bit better, which is why I'm able to speak so clearly now. But back in town, I can already feel my eyes starting to get kind of itchy again, and I've only been here for less than 24 hours. So definitely going to continue taking a break, try and, drink a lot of tea and keep my voice running for the next week and put some real proper research into my next episodes instead of just throwing something together quickly for you, because you guys deserve better than that. And frankly, I want to give you better than that. I'm always embarrassed when I put out an episode that I think is subpar, and especially last week where you could hear how stuffy and uncomfortable I was just kind of embarrassed that was what I put out and presented to you guys. But on the other hand, I was glad I recorded before I lost my voice completely, because I recorded both episodes last week a little earlier in the week, and shortly afterwards my voice was almost completely gone. So definitely glad I recorded those when I did, but I was not happy with the quality of them just because of how I sounded on the recording. And taking that extra week to make up for lost time for research and to give my voice a little rest, I think, is the best call in this case. Sorry if some of you were sick of it, but I just thought Frankenstein and Dracula kind of suit this time of year anyway, and hopefully you'll enjoy it even though it's a repeat. Thank you so much for tuning in, and have a wonderful week. We'll be back with more spookiness with The Chase of the Severed Head on next Wednesday. Thank you very much. Captain Walden sighed. He was nearly in bed for the first time in 2 days when his men started shouting from above decks. He reluctantly rose and grabbed his coat to go check out the commotion. The crew were pulling a man out of the frozen waters of the Arctic Sea. The half-frozen youth struggled to get back out of the boat. He didn't have time for a rescue right now. The captain shook his head. The young man's dog sled had become stranded on an iceberg, and all but one of his dogs had frozen to death. His journey was over. Walden sighed again, scooping up the man and his last surviving dog. They were racing to be the first ship across the Arctic to reach the other side of the world. They didn't have time for distractions. When the young man found out where they were headed, he calmed down and eventually lost consciousness. For 2 days. You'll get used to it. This particular young man, he does that a lot. It's like watching the Johnny Depp version of Sleepy Hollow. The captain had no such rest. Earlier, they had seen another man in a sled flying across the snow, a man too large to be a man at all. Normally, you didn't see anybody this far north. When the half-frozen man finally woke up, he insisted that he was going to die. He had one more task to complete, and then his life was over. He talked for days,
telling the captain his tragic tale as the boat carved and crunched its way northward through the ice. Victor Frankenstein had a story that would truly stun the captain. Victor had had a rough summer. It began with Elizabeth, his adopted sister, getting scarlet fever, and his mother had caught it from her. This was the summer after he had turned 17, and Victor Frankenstein's mother died of scarlet fever. That was why he was late to start his first year at Ingolstadt University. Leaving Geneva behind, he felt the absence of his mother, who would not be there when he returned. On her deathbed, she had said that she had been longing for he and his adopted sister to get married. For the first time, Victor and Elizabeth began to look at each other differently. He was distracted from these thoughts when he reached the school and realized how far behind he was. His own small town library had been helplessly outdated, and everyone else had already been in class for weeks. He was going to have to work twice as hard to catch up. He was disgusted by the science's reluctance to try to move forward. They laughed at the lack of knowledge of the old scholars, yet never sought to discover anything new of their own. They were not the Prometheus of the Greek gods bringing knowledge to humanity. They were simply another specialized, self-superior upper class who believed they had the supreme knowledge of the limits of humanity. He needed a goal, something to push him forward into discovery. He thought of his mother and of life and death. What was death but not another disease? And a disease could be cured. If he could reanimate dead cells, he could potentially create a whole new form of humanity, a new species of humans with him as their creator. He wasn't a medical student, but even they had trouble getting access to bodies these days. It was how Victor found himself exploring the depths of the catacombs each night. He dove in with a notebook and a lamp, researching anatomy, the speed rate of decay, and what affected the process. He dissected and meticulously studied cadavers until he no longer needed charts and books to find his way through the human body. That was when he knew it was time to dig deeper. The most important thing he needed was a way to slow decay so that he would have time to work. The second most important thing was a private, nearby space to work in. He found an apartment nearby in a building that was almost always empty. At night, he would sneak out to gather parts for his superhuman. His plan was to make his creation even better than a human being. He began to head to the butcher more often. The flesh and bone of an ox would only make humanity stronger, more perfect. He would spend all day and all night melding the pieces of bodies together. He was using money meant for his books and his food and dedicating it completely to this project so that as the body he built grew stronger, his own began to wane away. He grew thin, pale, and weak as he struggled to keep up with his studies and stopped sleeping to save time. He waited impatiently for the perfect brain and eyes. They needed to be the freshest, the most perfect, because to him, they were also the most human. Finally, the night a new body went into the crypt, he found the final pieces he needed. After 2 years of carefully knitting together body parts, the creature was ready. Victor refused to tell the captain how he did it. He needed to take that secret to his death. But that night, in the dusty university apartment, the heart began to beat again. Frankenstein was about to release a cry of victory when the yellow eyes opened, but before he could, the creature began to have a massive seizure on the table. Suddenly it hit him. He had created this creature. He was responsible for it, not only for its welfare, but for its actions. It had been ripped unnaturally from the proper order of things and flung into life that it didn't belong in. Victor knew what the right thing to do was, and he had now this one moment to do it, but instead, he fled from the beast on the table. He went to bed, sure that it would die. When he woke, the creature stood above him, 8 feet tall and an abomination, smiling as it tried to form words. Imagine his disappointment. Victor tried to make the elves from Lord of the Rings, but instead he created a giant zombie
The creature would also be disappointed, thinking that it had a father or a mentor, but it just had an arrogant boy who saw his own creation as a monster. Victor screamed and pushed past the confused creature and ran out the door. Victor couldn't even bring himself into the apartment. Instead, he wandered the town in the rain until he ran almost literally into Henry, his best friend growing up. Henry had spent the last 2 years trying to convince his dad that he should be allowed to go to college, and when he did, there was only one place he wanted to go, Ingolstadt, to be with his best friend Victor. After the joy of seeing Victor calmed down a little bit, Henry took him in and began to worry. Victor looked terrible. He was soaked and cold and pale and skinny. He scolded Victor for not contacting his family at all for 2 long years. Victor nodded. He had been busy. They walked back to his apartment, and Victor dipped in just to make sure that the monster was gone. As he opened the door to let Henry in, the fatigue finally hit him, and he collapsed. As I said, that's going to happen to Victor a lot. That's kind of his special move. He swoons like a damsel in a corset that's too tight. But then again, he's the one who's taxed his body for 2 years to the point where he's just delicate and dainty as a butterfly. Can't really complain when you did it to yourself, can ya? Thanks for tuning in today, and I hope you'll enjoy hearing more from Victor Frankenstein tomorrow. Victor woke with a headache and found that his apartment was clean, cleaner than it had been when he moved in. Henry got him some food and water and slowly broke the news that Victor had been asleep for nearly 9 months. It was August. He had been caring for Victor for nearly a year, putting his own dreams on hold again. Victor would have done the same for him, he was sure. Not from anything I've seen, Henry, but hang in there, dude. Over time, Victor's body recovered from, but his mind was still broken from living in a nightmare for 2 long years. Even entering the science wing of the university sent him flying into a gasping, shaking, sweaty panic attack. Henry took him home, but could tell Victor needed a change. He knew that in all likelihood the creature was probably dead. How could it have lasted through a German winter, wandering the wilderness with no idea what it was or where it came from? But the whole city reminded him of the crimes he had committed against the natural order. His only bright spots were his letters to and from Elizabeth. She inspired him to go home, back to Geneva, where he could start over again. When he got a letter from his father, he thought it was going to say that a ride home had been arranged for him, and it did, but it also informed him that his youngest brother, William, had also been murdered just outside of Geneva. Victor had been delayed en route to Geneva, and as such, the city gates were already closed by the time he arrived. They always closed at night and would open for neither man nor beast, even if they knew you. He sighed. William had been locked out that night, too. Victor knew the spot where he had been killed. It was a place where he, too, had slept when he had been locked out after dark. He began to walk into the woods to that spot when the sky opened up and it began to pour. In a flash of lightning, he saw him, it, his creation, watching him in the dark. With another flash of lightning, it was gone. How? How could it have survived the winter? How could it have known to come here? A sticky, cold, sick feeling plunged into the depth of Victor's stomach. The creature was intelligent, smart enough to figure out who he was and to find his home. His own creation had strangled his youngest brother. The city was teeming with rumors. Justine Morris had killed William Frankenstein. Victor found it an odd conclusion. Justine had been raised by the Frankensteins and helped to raise William. But she had been the only one outside the city that night. Only Elizabeth was sure that it could not have been Justine. Elizabeth testified in Justine's favor, but Justine admitted guilt. The priest had told her that if she didn't confess, she would be sent straight to hell. So she confessed to a crime that she didn't commit. She was hung on a scaffold the next day, raising Victor Frankenstein's body count to 2. Every day he felt the eyes of the creature upon him. Eventually, he rode by himself into the mountains. As he reached the top, he felt like himself for once
as he stared across the frozen lake. The hike had freed him of his guilt. For the first brief moment, for the briefest of moments, but then he saw it, the creature sprinting across the ice. With inhuman speed, the creature barreled towards him, easily scaling the mountain face. Victor raged at the creature, blaming it for all of his misfortune. The creature countered that he had created him, so if he didn't like what he saw, it was his fault, and that he had also been the one to abandon the creature, so he couldn't blame it for not knowing how to behave. The creature gave him an ultimatum. Do as he said, or he would kill everyone Victor loved. Victor shouted that if the creature was so resentful of his creation, he would be happy to end it for him. The creature easily dodged Victor's attempts to assault him and shrugged off his creator's flowery insults. He reminded Victor that he was meant to be an Adam, the first of a new species, but that Victor had turned him into a fallen angel. He asked Victor to hear his story and said that he would either leave humanity alone or he would be a wave of destruction in not only Victor's life, but every life. He left the choice up to Victor himself. He followed the creature into a hut in the woods where it started a fire for Victor's sake, and he motioned for his creator to sit while he told his tale. So far from the stereotypical Frankenstein we see in most movies nowadays, Frankenstein's creature, or his creation, is intelligent and well-spoken and well thought out. He not only had the intelligence to learn how to speak on his own without a father or mentor figure, but he also found a way to investigate who Frankenstein was, having only seen him for a couple seconds, track down his family in Geneva, and hunt down his brother and his family. So he's clearly capable of great intelligence, but a little foggy on boundaries and a little foggy on moral behavior. But we find that this is pretty common even in the real life with people who have been abandoned by one or both parental figures. Perhaps not to this extreme, but honestly, sometimes it's pretty close. So right now, I don't want to say I sympathize with the creature because he has committed murder, but at the same time, I can relate to the creature in terms of, I can draw a lot of comparisons to it to current people in the modern day. We have a huge fatherlessness problem in our country these days and huge issues with broken families, and it does result in a certain inability to relate to and feel compassion for other human beings. Therefore, you see people as kind of a means to an end rather than the ending of the precious gift of life. And we see that especially in densely populated city areas where people just don't value the humanity of other people. And so I think in that sense, while Frankenstein's monster is certainly still a bad character and not relatable in the sense that I feel how he feels, but relatable in the sense that I understand how he feels because I've seen other examples of these same consequences for a somewhat similar situation, as similar as we can get in real world family dynamics. Thank you so much for tuning in today. As always, if you like this podcast and if you want other people to be more informed about these classic tales, Frankenstein, like Dracula, is a more modern tale, but you know, we're going for the Halloween theming we're all in this month. So there you go. You know, if you like this, please, please, please tell all of your friends to like, subscribe, listen, leave reviews if you're listening on iTunes. High reviews. I only accept 5-star reviews, even though I stutter quite a bit. Hopefully you'll forgive me for that. I'm working on it. The more I talk, the better I get. And thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I really appreciate it. Seeing how many people listen every day really does make me excited because it makes me feel like there are other people that are just as interested in these classic stories as I am and who want to know the real stories and what the commentary they make about the society of the day is. So thank you so much, and tune in again tomorrow to find out more from Victor Frankenstein. The creature's first memory was of sensory overload. Nothing was truly clear to him until he left the college and his creator. He took in the world around him for the first time and its marvelous beauty. His first winter had been hard. He felt cold and pain for the first time.
Whenever he met another human, they were horrified by him, but in their horror, they tended to drop whatever they had been carrying, and as such, he began to collect what he needed to get by. Some people even tried to fight him off with violence, and he learned that the tendency of humans to judge another by appearance. They were both weak and violent. They could not be trusted. That meant nowhere would be safe. He fled into the countryside, where he found a small house. He hoped whoever was inside would be kinder. He decided he wouldn't take his chances and chose to sleep in a shed on the property. He managed to hide in the shed all winter, watching the family within. He educated himself by watching their behavior and reading their books. He heard their singing and music and laughter, and he longed for that sense of community. But he had also seen his own reflection and known he was not like them. He was very different. A young man in the family had a foreign fiancé, and as she learned their language, he had as well, expanding his world. With the knowledge of the written word, he was able to read the notes in his pocket of his jacket. The jacket had been stolen from the flat, and they contained details and instructions, a recipe for him. Over time, the creature slowly introduced himself to the blind old man who owned the house. Perhaps this would be his gateway into the family. During their conversations, however, the family returned home, and he wept as they dragged him from the house and he returned to the woods. When he returned to the cottage that night, he found that the family had abandoned it. In his grief and anger, he burned the cottage to the ground. One day, a young girl fell into the river nearby. The creature scooped her out of the water, but as he stood over her, her companions took him as an attacker and shot him in the shoulder. The young man who shot him began to scream. Out of panic and a desire to silence the boy, the creature put his hands around his neck. Soon, young William Frankenstein was quiet. The boy had threatened the creature using his family name. This had brought the creature rage, but not fear. If nothing else, he now knew that he was in the right place. His creator would come here. Soon, they would finally meet. Victor was unimpressed with the story, but grew tense as the creature presented him with his own notes. He requested that Victor make another creature to be his companion. Victor refused, point blank. The creature had already killed two people he loved. What would a pair of them do? The creature pressed the notes on Victor again, insisting that if he was forced to live in pain and loneliness, then he would bring pain and loneliness to the world, starting with Victor. Reluctantly, Victor agreed. If it meant the creature would leave and the proof of his sin would vanish, it was worth it. The creature gave Victor 1 year to make him a wife and urged his creator to stay on task. He would be watching very closely. Victor's father pulled him aside as soon as he returned and reiterated his wife's wish to see Victor marry Elizabeth. He told his son that if he truly thought of her as a sister, then that was okay, but if he could accept the idea, the old man could die at peace. Victor told his father that he would love to marry Elizabeth, as he had never seen her as a true sister, but first he had some duty to attend to in England. Victor was hoping that the trip would draw the creature farther away from his family. Victor's father insisted that Victor take Henry with him for his study or for his safety, since he still seemed pretty sickly. Henry was beyond excited. A vacation overseas. The pair split up in Scotland so that Henry could visit some friends, while Victor found an isolated spot and began his work. His stomach turned at how easily he knit together dead body parts, how quickly and naturally it came for him to do something so unnatural. The automatic movement of his hands left Victor's mind free to ponder his new creation. The deal was that the creature and his bride would leave humanity once he completed her. But what if she didn't agree? Why should she be bound to a promise that she didn't make? After all, why shouldn't the bride have a will and desires of her own? What if, after all, the creature had done to not be alone, the bride rejected him? Worse, what if she did love him and they had children? He glanced out the window to see the silhouette of the creature in the distance, watching. Victor put down his tools and closed the window and destroyed the female, dismantling all of his progress. He was nearly in bed when the creature blasted through his door and demanded that he begin again. Victor refused, citing his reasonable fear that the wrath of the bride could easily exceed that of the creature, and he may never be safe. Humanity may never be safe from such an unnatural creation. The creature left Victor, vowing to see him on his wedding night. He refused to allow his creator happiness while he was miserable. When Victor left the island where he had created and ended the bride, he was surprised to be greeted by the Irish police. They accused him of murder. While he had been aboard the boat that night, a similar boat had come and gone. Then on the shore they had found it. A body. Victor shook his head. Now, this moment was his first time in Ireland, but the police had no other suspects. They decided to show Victor the body, and they hoped that this would tell them all that they needed to know. Victor nodded, and they led him to the body of 25-year-old Henry Clerkville. Massive black bruises circled his neck. Victor fainted. Because, of course, he did. Thanks for tuning in today. As always, if you like this show and you want to help it out, please like, subscribe, share, leave a 5-star review if you're listening on iTunes, and tell all your friends about it. It is just a quick little storytelling podcast. I try to keep it about 15 minutes or under every episode. That way, even if it's not your favorite story, it at least is not a waste of your time. And that way, too, we can explore classic stories and learn about them together. Thank you so much for tuning in, and have a wonderful day. Months after Henry's death, Victor woke up and his father was able to get him out of prison. Victor began to arm himself and did everything he could to avoid thinking of Henry. He began to take opium to sleep, and he became increasingly paranoid. Only Elizabeth eased his suffering. The day before his wedding, he told her that he had an unbelievably horrible secret that he could only tell her once they were already married. Okay. Red flag, run away, girl. Holy moly. Not what you want to hear the day before your wedding day. On the other hand, everything then is such a blur. Maybe she didn't pay attention. I don't know. She trusts him too much. Somebody who says, oh, hey, I have a horrible, unbelievable, terrible, rotten, awful, life-changing, monstrous, literally monstrous secret, but I can't tell you until you're legally bound to me forever. Maybe don't do that legally bound to me forever part. That's pretty creepy. Holy cow. After the ceremony, they arrived safely at the inn despite a terrible storm. And as soon as they were inside their room, Victor armed himself with multiple guns and knives and left telling her he would return soon. Again, red flag. This is your wedding night. And you return back to your hotel only to have him suiting up in his Avengers costume and leaping out the door? I mean, no, terrible, terrible. Victor stood out in the forest, waiting to face the creature, only to hear screaming from the inn behind him. The creature wanted to do worse than kill Victor. He wanted to take away what Victor had taken from him. Elizabeth's neck was broken by the time Victor found them. He fired upon the creature, who escaped into the night as the groom wept over the broken body of his brand new bride. That moment, he vowed on the graves of William, Henry, Elizabeth, Janine, and now Alphonse that he would avenge them. Alphonse Frankenstein, Victor's father, had died of sorrow mere days after Elizabeth, and now the creature wasn't the only one with nothing to lose. It was time to begin the hunt. He chased the monster, following its path of destruction all over Europe, eventually making his way north to the tundra. He didn't realize he had wandered off the mainland until the ice raft cracked away from the earth. He watched as one by one his sled dogs died and his body grew from painful cold to stiff and numb. He fell asleep, only to be rescued by Captain Walden. The captain was horrified by the story. If he had not seen the creature himself, he wouldn't have believed it. He left, letting Victor sleep as he went about his work. They had gotten stuck in the ice, and it was time to decide whether to go on, trying to find a passage to the Pacific or try to turn back. He had refused the request to return to London at first, but the men were beginning to die from the cold. Victor knew he wouldn't survive much longer. He saw the men sacrificing He saw the man sacrificing his men for the sake of being a world-renowned explorer and adventurer. Victor warned him that it was too late for him now, but that Walden should avoid the same fate, avoid ambition, and seek peace and tranquility. Then, slowly, the young man passed away. The ship gave a mighty lurch, and the captain ran above decks to see if they had broken free of the ice. He avoided the pleading eyes of his men as he thought over what to do next. He wandered back to his cabin, and he was met by the sound of weeping. The creature was inside Victor's room, weeping over the body. He and the captain met each other's gaze. The creature expressed sorrow at the death of his creator, that vengeance and hatred had made him a monster. The creature was left to build a funeral pyre and throw himself upon it, and Walden turned the ship back towards the warmth of civilization. And that is the end of Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley. I remember even as a middle schooler being impressed how truly young Mary Shelley was when she wrote this work, and that she did so under her actual name. A lot of times, classical authors will write something, if they're female, under like the initials, like J.K. Rowling, just because it was assumed at the time that female authors couldn't sell books. But we see Mary Shelley's book is one of the most commonly published books in the world at the time, and it's considered a work of classic literature. And even if she wasn't necessarily appreciated for it in her time, neither was our last subject, Bram Stoker. So that's not necessarily a gender thing. I think most artistic people are not truly appreciated for their creativity until that light and that creativity has gone. I do want to thank you so much for tuning in today. And again, as always, if you like this podcast, please, please, please encourage everyone you know to listen, tune in, and enjoy. And thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.